Daf is Vachem Daf Samach Vav. We're holding in the very last words of the page. We're already on Daf Samach Vav on the Aleph at the very top of the page. And today's share is once again sponsored by Henry Orlinsky. And it is Lezecher Nishmas, his mother, whose yard site is today, Rachel Leah by Chaim Asher HaKohen. And it is also Lezecher Nishmas, Rebbetzin Peshi Yantav Weiss. The Nishamos should have an aliyah in the Zuchus of our learning. So we're first going to discuss today whether the word lo in the Torah sometimes means that you don't have to do something, not always that you can't do something or that you shouldn't do something, but that you don't have to do something. Then the Gemara is going to discuss at the very end of the parak, to conclude the sixth parak, we're going to discuss how we know that mitzvah dam ha'of is the mitzvah dam ha'guf of the oaf is going to be ma'akev, whereas squeezing out the blood of the head, the mitzvah dam harosh, while it is something that should be done, it is not something that is ma'akev. And then we're going to Be'ez Hashem begin the seventh parak of Maseches Vachim, and the Mishnah is going to tell us three different halachos about a chatas oaf, four halachos about an olas oaf. It is interesting, the entire seventh parak is about karbonos of oaf, chatas and ola. So it's somewhat strange that the starting point is over here, because it should have been the last two Mishnayos of the previous parak laid out the rules of Achatas and Ola, but that's the way the Prakam are broken up for some reason or another. Then the Gemara on Amud Beis discusses when the Mishnah speaks about doing a Chatas kema'ase Ola, or an Ola kema'ase Chatas, what exactly does that mean? What did you do with the Chatas that makes it kema'ase Ola? What did you do with the Ola that makes it kema'ase Chatas? And then we're going to have a Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Vav and Beis, going over to Samach Zayin and Aleph, that discusses when you do Karbanos Psulim, do they become a Nevela? Meaning, since you're doing Malika, and Malika generally anywhere other than a Karban would turn an animal into a Nevela, so what if you did some other Psulim, the Karban? So is the fact that you did a Malika, does that make it a Nevela? And more, the Mishnah is going to discuss whether it's subject to Me'ila, meaning if you did it in a way that's possible, is that which is left is subject to Me'ila or not? It's going to be a major machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and the Mishnah is going to have a whole back and forth, a whole conversation between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, whether it's subject to Me'ila or not. Okay, so the last thing we mentioned yesterday that was that that the Rabbanan said Kamed Rabbi Yirmiya, that when Rabbi Shimon and Yaakov says Mishum Rabbi Elazar and Das Mishum Rabbi Elazar and Shmua, Omer Ha'ir Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Shamati B'chatas of Shemavdilin, that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds that even by Chatas of, you can cut both simanim. There's no iser in cutting both simanim. Aye, but it says in the Torah Beferish Lo Yavdil, that by Chatas of, you're not allowed to cut both simanim. No, that doesn't mean you're not allowed to cut both simanim. Ein Sarich Lahavdil, you don't have to cut both simanim by Chatas of, as opposed to an Olas of, where it's Sarich Lahavdil, where one is obligated to cut both simanim. So now the Gemara is going to explore. Really? The word Lo means you don't have to? Where else might the word lo mean that you don't have to? Amar le Rav Acha b'rid Rav le Rav Ashi ela me'ata, if lo yavdil is not an iser, it's just telling me you don't need to. Gabe bar d'chsev, when it talks about someone who opens up a bar or digs a bar, where anything, any damage that happens in that bar, he's going to be responsible for, he's going to have to pay for. So it says, you know, the pasuk starts chiyif tachish bar or chiyich reish bar, and it says v'lo yichasenu, so he opened the bar and he didn't cover it, and then a shor or chamor falls and dies there, so he has to pay for it. Does lo yichasenu mean that he's not obligated to cover it, that it's not necessary for him to cover it? Now over there, the other possibility of what lo yichasenu means, which is what it actually means, is not that it's usher to cover it, right? That's certainly not the case. That's definitely not what lo yichasenu means. Over there, what it actually means is it's a sipur maisa, that it, because he didn't cover it, so that's why he's going to be chayiv. But the Gemara has a havamina that maybe it's more than a sipur maisa. Maybe it's telling us adin that it's not necessary for him to cover it. Says Gemara, no, hachi hashta. You can't compare our case of lo yavdil and lo yichasenu. Hasam kiven dechsev balabor yishalem ilavehu derami lechasuye. Since the end of the pasuk is that he has to pay for any damages in the bar, obviously, therefore, he has to cover the bar, otherwise he wouldn't be chayav for damages, which is a major statement to the Gemara. If you recall, when we started Maseches Baba Kama way back when, so the first discussion you have to have at the beginning of Maseches Baba Kama, when Rabbi Feldman came and gave a shir psicha from Maseches Baba Kama, he spoke about what exactly is the isser of mazik, right? We know that from the Torah and from many, many, many sugyas throughout all of Nezikin, that you're chayav when you're mazik, that if you do damage, you have to pay. But what's to stop me from going to where Rabbi Feldman put it so strongly, what's to stop me from going to my neighbor's car with a sledgehammer and a checkbook and destroying his car and then writing a check? Well, you know, is there any problem with it? So our Gemara seems pretty clear. If we're going to say Balabari Shalem, it must be that there's an Isser, meaning that there's no way you can have a payment without an Isser. There wouldn't be a Chiyuv to pay for it if not for the fact that there's an Isser. Aval Hacha, but over here by the Chatas Ofer, it says Lo Yavdil, Michli, Ksiv Vihikrivo, it says by the Olas Ha'of that the Kohen is makrivit on the Mizbeach, from the fact that it says Vihikrivo, meaning you're makriv it, it sounds like there's something different about it, about the Olas Ha'of. So Chilek HaKasa bin Chatas of Olas Ha'of, the Torah is telling me that there is some din that is different, that distinguishes a Chatas Ha'of from an Olas Ha'of. And the Gemara makes this drasha in Maseches Chulin. Now, by an Olas Ha'of, everyone holds that you're chayiv to be mavdil. So if that's the case, lo yavdil lamali. When it says by Chatas Ha'of, lo yavdil, what's it coming to teach? Mishma mina ain sarich lahavdil, that it's not necessary, because if it would have been asur to be mavdil by a Chatas, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon would have no chiyuv to be mavdil by an Ola. If it would have been asur to be mavdil by a Chatas, so I would say, okay, and by an Ola, there's no isur to be mavdil, you're allowed to be mavdil. Oh, but the fact that he holds that by an ola you're chayev to be mavdil, so then there's reason to believe that by a chatos there's no iser, that by a chatos it's only a rishus. So that's why there's a reasonable havamina that would be the case. And according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that in fact is the case, that by a chatos you're allowed to be mavdil, but not that it's an iser to be mavdil. Now Tosos in the bottom the last host in the parak over here raises the obvious question. The Gemara said, oh, does the word lo really always mean that you don't have to? And it brings up the most unusual lo in the Torah of lo yichasenu. Why not every other time the Torah says lo tirtzach, right? Lo tinof. Why not come up with every time it says a lo sase in the Torah? Maybe it's just a suggestion. You don't have to. You don't have to kill. You don't have to commit adultery. Why doesn't the Gemara ask from those cases? So it also says, mikol lavin it's interesting that Tosos gives those examples, meaning Tosos automatically assumes he doesn't give any mitzvah sichli, right? They're all these are all chukim. Maybe he assumes that something that's misvara, that for sure, meaning something that's just a basic moral obligation, then there's no question that would mean that it's an absolute iser. But maybe the Torah is telling me that I don't have to wear shatness, that I don't have to muzzle the animal. So lo kashale, that the Gemara is not bothered by. Lemai kasve im because lemai kasve im lo lulav. There's no reason for the Torah to say it if not for a lav. Aval had misvara hava amina de mavdil lefishat sarach ledam amina lechiksiv lo yavdil ein sarach lavdil kamar. Oh, but over here, where misvara, I would have thought that you have to be mavdil, so that's why it has to tell me lo yavdil, that you don't have to be mavdil. V'gabe bornami misvara v'mina d'chayiv l'chasoso v'chiksev lo yichasenu ain't tzarech l'chasoso ka'amar. And also by bar, I would have had a hava mina, I would naturally assume that you're chayiv to cover it, so when it says lo yichasenu, maybe lo yichasenu, so I mean, no, you're not chayiv, meaning maybe it's always moving it one level over. And now you understand the comparison to bar more exactly. Why does it, the case of bar, we said the low definitely doesn't mean an iser. Yeah, you're right, but what the low is coming to do is to move it over one level from whatever the Svara Pshuta would have been. So the Svara Pshuta would have been that it's an obligation to cover a bar, that you cannot not cover a bar. Okay, so Lo Yichasenu, not an obligation. And Lo Yavdil, I would have naturally assumed that I have to be Mavdil. Okay, so Lo Yavdil in Sarich Lahavdil. So, but by all the other Lo Sases in the Torah, had the Torah not told me not to wear shatness, I never would have thought that there's an Isser to wear shatness. So Lo Yavdil can't be telling me I don't have to wear shatness. I never would have thought that I have to wear shatness or that I'm not allowed to wear shatness. So Lo Yilbash must be telling me that it's an Isser. That's how Tosfos understands that we always move it, that the Havamin of our Gemara is to move it over one level from the low. Based on this Svar of Tosfos, the Shaul Meshiv in Shaul Meshiv Madura Kama, Chel Gimel, Simul Chav, is Miyashiv what many of the Monei Mitzvos do not count the mitzvah of giving nevela leger or selling nevela to a nachri, even though the pasuk says leger asher b'sharecha titinena va'achala o machar l'nachri. What do you do when you have a nevela? Give it to a ger or sell it to a nachri. And yet many of the money mitzvahs don't count this mitzvah. Why don't they count this as a mitzvah, that's what you have to do with the nevela? So says the Shaul Meshiv, based on our Tosfos, that whenever you would say misvara, that you have to do something, and the Torah says, lo, don't do it, we assume that the Torah is saying you don't have to do it, not that there's an iser to do it. So, and the same is would be the opposite. Whenever misvara, we would assume that it's usur to do something, and then the Torah says yes to do it. Maybe the Torah doesn't mean you have to do it, but rather that you are permitted to do it. So that's why the Rishonim understand that there's no mitzvah of nesinas nevela leger, because misvara we could have assumed that it's usur to give nevela to a ger toshav. So that's why the pasuk has to be mechadesh. No, it's not usur, it's mutter to give nevela, not obligated, but mutter to give nevela to a ger toshav. So the pasuk is not telling me an actual mitzvah, an actual obligation, meaning we're actually taking this tosos, which is really just explaining a hava amina, and saying that we're going to apply this in terms of how to darshan the Torah, that when misvara you would assume that there is a mitzvah to do something, then the Torah says that there's an obligation to do something, then the Torah says lo, it's just something there's no obligation. When misvara you would assume there's an issur to do something, and then the Torah says do it, it's not that you're obligated to do it, but it's that you are permitted to do it. The Maral in the Gorarya in Parshat Mishpatim writes that the mitzvah is to give nevel to a ger is by a ger toshavani, and that there is a mitzvah, and it's part of the mitzvah of tzedakah, and maybe that's why it's not included in the minyan mitzvahs. Meaning there are other explanations why some of the monei mitzvahs do not count that as a mitzvah, but that's the Shaul Meshiv's, I guess, more creative explanation why it's not counted as a mitzvah. Okay, then the Mishnah said that mitzvah dama guf. So the Mishnah said that if you squeeze out the dama rosh but not the dama guf, then it's pasul. But if you only squeeze out the dama guf and not the dama rosh, you only squeeze out the blood of the body, not the blood from the head, that's going to be kosher. Only the mitzvah dam haguf is going to be ma'akev, not the mitzvah dama rosh. So Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa that it says by Ola Sa'of, the pasuk says Ola Hu. So right away there are competing drashos within that pasuk. Ola sounds like it's coming to be marbis something, and Hu sounds like it's more of an exclusionary term. So Ola afal pisha mitzvah dama guf velo mitzvah dama rosh. Ola is telling me that it's going to be kosher even if you do the mitzvah of the dama guf, but not the dama rosh. Meaning, even though there's a requirement to squeeze out both, if you do just the dama guf, Ola tells me, good enough. Yachol mitzvah dama rosh, lo mitzvah dama guf. I might think, and the same would be true if you do the opposite, that you only squeeze out the dama rosh and not the dama guf. Tamalamar hu. That's why the pasuk says hu, to tell me no. If you only squeeze out the dama guf, then it's going to be kasher. But if you only squeeze out the dam harosh, that's going to be pasul. Well, my Talmudah, how do we know that there's such a distinction between dam harosh and dam haguf? And to make the distinction in this direction, meaning enochinami, you have one riboy, one miut. So one of them is ma'akev, the other one's not ma'akev. Who told you that the squeezing of the dam haguf is ma'akev and not the dam harosh? Maybe it should be the other.
the way, some Ravina mistavra the rov dam baguf shchichi. It's more mistavra that the mitzvah dam haguf is going to be ma'akev because that's where most of the blood is, and the purpose of the mitzvah is to drain it of its of its blood. So if that's the case, it's more mistaver that that the mitzvah is going to be ma'akev when it's the dam haguf. Okay, hadron alach kache kache. Now, Be'ez Hashem will begin the seventh parak of Maseches Zvachim. So as we mentioned before, the entire seventh parak deals with Chatas Ha'of and Olas Ha'of. We already had two Mishnayos, one that described exactly what you're supposed to do with the Chatas Ha'of and what you're supposed to do with the Olas Ha'of. Now we're going to discuss the Psulim, what you're not supposed to do with the Chatas Ha'of and the Olas Ha'of. And once we're discussing those Psulim, we're also going to talk in this parak about the notion of Tumas Beis Habliya. That's going to come up in the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis, that when an oaf becomes a nevela, which is a relevant topic over here, because if you've made it possible, certain psulim will make it into a nevela, because you're doing malika, you're not doing shchita. When it becomes a nevela, specifically by a kosher min, by a kosher type of bird that's a nevela, there's a new type of tumah called tumas beis abliya, that when you eat it, somehow it's metame you, and not only metame you, metame the begadim that you're wearing. There's a major discussion in Rishonim, Achronim, try to figure out, is Tumas Beis Habliya patterned after anything else? Is it like a different kind of Tumas Mada? Or maybe a different kind of Tumas Mas? Or maybe it's a Tumas Achila? Or maybe there's even such a Chiddush that the it's not Tame at all, that it's just Metame Yu, but it's not, it's like a Tumay Yotze Lo Migufa. All these different possibilities, maybe we'll have an opportunity to discuss it a little bit later. But the Mishnah over here is going to start with the discussion of Chatas Ha'of and then move to Olas Ha'of. So first three halachas about a Chatas Ha'of. Halacha number one, Chatas Ha'of Sha'asol Lemata Kima'ase Chatas L'shem Chatas Kshela. If you do everything right with a chatas ha'of, you do it lamata, because that's where the bottom half of the mizbeach, because that's where a chatas ha'of is supposed to be done, and you have in mind that it should be done l'shem chatas. So and you do everything right, you do it kemaase chatas, you do the malika of one siman and not two simanim, you do the hazaas adam, then you do the mitzvah adam. Everything exactly like the chatas is supposed to be done, that is going to be kosher. So that is the first halacha in the Mishnah. Now that first halacha is the most troubling halacha of the whole Mishnah, because you wanted to start talking about the psulim, and if you do this incorrect, is it going to be pasul, and is it going to be mitame, right, and all the other details, and is it going to be subject to meila? But why mention this part of the Mishnah? Obviously, you do a chatas, everything right, of course it's going to be kosher. So Tosos, based on the gears of the Shittim Kupetzos, and Tosos asks from the Lashon Sha'asa'a, not only that, it sounds like we're saying b'di'eved, it's kosher. If you did the chatas exactly the way we had already said you're supposed to do the chatas, okay, b'di'eved, we'll let that go. What do you mean, b'di'eved? That's what you're supposed to do. So Tosfos says that the truth is this whole halacha in the Mishnah is unnecessary, but it's agav the rest of the dinim in the Mishnah. That's why we mention this din as well. The Rambam in the Perush of Mishnayos says that when we say if you do it l'chatas li'ola exactly like they're supposed to be done, it means even if you're mishana b'seder malikasan, meaning you're mishana the order of how you do everything right, but in a different order. Sfasema suggests that what we mean to say in the Reisha is that you have a machshava l'shem chatas, but who said you're having a machshava l'shem chatas ha'of? Maybe you're having a machshava l'shem chatas behema. It's an unusual thing to assume that that's what the Mishnah is talking about, that you have a bird in your hand and you're thinking about a chatas behema, and the Mishnah doesn't bother mentioning that, and that's the great chiddush, that it's still going to be kosher even though you're thinking that it's a chatas behema. But they're grasping, right? The Sfasema says, well, what else could the chiddush be of our Mishnah? There's a sefer called the Shem Zevach where he asks that one of his talmidim, he says, asked that Lechor Tosfos could have said a much more pashuta answer, that if you read the rest of the Mishnah, it's going to become obvious why it's necessary to say this case, because the rest of the Mishnah is going to say if you asa'a l'mala kima'asa kulan, if you do everything we previously described, you just do it on the top half of the mizbeach, psula. So by all the other examples where there's another psul in the picture, of course it's going to be psula. The only chiddush of asal lamala kema'asa kulan psula is if you've already set up a case where you do everything right. So now, oh, and you do everything right, but you do it on the top half of the mizbeach, that's going to be a psul. That's a chiddush. That's a strong kasha. Why it is that Tosfos doesn't just give that answer? That's the chiddush of this line. That's why this line has to be included in the Mishnah, even though in a chinami there's no chiddush in this line itself. Okay, but says the Mishnah further. Let's say you do kema'ase chatos. You do the avoda lemata exactly the way chatos is supposed to be done, but you do it l'shem ola. You have in mind that you're doing it l'shem a karban ola, or kema'ase ola. You do the karban like as if it's a karban ola. L'shem chatas, even though you are having in mind that it is a karban chatas, or kemase ola l'shem ola, you're doing it like a karban ola, and you're having in mind that it should be a karban ola. In all those cases, psula. Then it's going to be absolutely possible, because a chatas is possible whether you do one of the avodos incorrectly or even shalol l'shma. That was one of the ABCs of this whole mesechta, is that a chatas shalol l'shma is going to be possible. Then asa'a lema'ala kemase kulan psula. Let's say you do it on the top half of the mizbeach. In any of the above mentioned cases, you do everything right, or you do it shalol l'shma, or you do it l'shma, but you do it like an ola, but you do it on the top half of the mizbeach, then for sure it's going to be pasul, because shinui makom is definitely going to pasul a chatas ha'ov. So that's chatas ha'ov. Now we move on to olas ha'ov. Olas ha'ov sha'asol l'mala, kemase ola, l'shem ola, k'sheira. So same discussion. Why is this at all necessary? Okay, but we're setting it up that you do a karban ola on the top half of the mizbeach like it's supposed to be done, and you do everything like a karban ola is supposed to have, and you do it l'shem a karban ola. That's going to be kasher zuhi mitzvasa. That is clearly the way it's supposed to be done. But kema'ase ola l'shem chatas. Let's say you do it like an ola, but you do it l'shem chatas k'sheira. That's also going to be kasher. Why? Because the only chatas is possible shalol l'shma. This is just shalol l'shma. By an ola shalol l'shma, it's still going to be kasher. But l'vachlo also l'va'aleha. But an ola shalol l'shma, while it may be kasher, the bailim who is chayiv to bring a karban ola is still going to have a chiv to bring another karban ola. Now that we certainly know that it's kasher shalol l'shma, but it's lo ola l'bailim l'shem chova. Now kemas chatas l'shem ola. But let's say you bring an ola sa'ov and you treat it like a chatas, but you do it l'shem a karban ola, kemasa chatas, or I should say, you do it l'shem ola, but you did kemasa chatas, or kemasa chatas l'shem chatas, or you did everything wrong. You did it like a chatas, and you did it l'shem chatas, then psula, then it's going to be pasul. Meaning, essentially, by an ola sa'of, the l'shma doesn't matter, but the ma'asa matters. If you actually do the actions like a chatas, that's going to be problematic. Asa'a lamata kema'asa kulan, if you do any of the above mentioned cases, but you do it on the bottom half of the mizbeach, I don't care if you did it l'shma and you did it with the ma'isa ola, but you did it on the bottom half, or whether you did it shalol l'shma kema'asa ola, whether you did it kema'asa chatas and l'shma, doesn't matter. You do it on the bottom half, psula, then it's going to be pasul. That's the Mishnah. Okay, so those are the basic halachos of chatas ha'of and ola sa'of. So says the Gemara, you know, it says that if you do a chatas of kema'ase ola. We kept on referring to doing a chatas of kema'ase ola and an ola of kema'ase chatas. What ma'isa? There are a whole bunch of halachos. The last two mishnayos in the previous parak discussed all of the halachos there where a chatas and an ola differ from each other. So the shani b'mayu, in what way did you do it differently? Did you do the chatas like an ola where our Mishnah says you have a problem? Ilem the shani b'malika, if we're talking about that you did something different about the malika, meaning that by a chatas you're only supposed to be molik siman echad, whereas by an ola you're molik shnei simanim. So we said you do on a chatas kemaise ola, maybe it means you're molik shnei simanim. Says Gemara, neima delok Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. But then the Mishnah would be going against Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Damar shamati shemavdil b'chatasov. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon holds that you're allowed to cut both simanim by a chatasov. And our Mishnah clearly says that if you do kemaise ola on a chatas, it's going to be pasul. So says Gemara, okay, so our Mishnah is against Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Below, Kim Dilok Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Didn't we already say the previous Mishnah is against Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon? Because remember, the previous Mishnah said, Hivdil b'chatas, pasul. That if you're mavdil by chatas, you pasul. What does mavdil? mavdil mean you cut shnei simanim on a chatos. It's going to be puzzle. So anyway, we're against Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Says Mar, yeah, but still, it would be nice if we could make our mishnah l'kulei alma. So lo, you don't have to say that our mishnah is against Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Tishani ba'aza'a. Because when our mishnah says that you treat a chatos like an olah, it might not mean that we're talking about the malika where you cut shnei simanim. Maybe treating a chatos like an olah means that the din of a kabban chatos is that there is a requirement of hazaa. By an olah, there's no requirement of hazaa. There's only mitzui. There's only the squeezing out of the blood. So maybe that's what it means. You treated a chatos like an olah by skipping hazaa and only doing mitzui. So that's what it means. Says Gemara Hachinar Mistavra, and it's most mistavra to assume that that's what it means. And when we say you treated a chatos kemas ayola, then it means you did just mitzui mitiktani seifa, because the seifa goes on to talk about by chatos of, and it says asa olamala kemas ekulan, that if you do any of the previous cases, but on the top half of the mizbech, which means whether you did kemaisa ola l'shem ola, or kemaisa ola l'shem chatos, or kemaisa chatos l'shem ola, or kemaisa chatos l'shem chatos, any of the permutations, but you did it l'mayla, it's going to be psula, it's going to be pasul, because it's l'mayla, and it's and a chatos belongs l'mata. Vafilu kemaisa chatos l'shem chatos, and that's talking about even if you did kemaisa chatos l'shem chatos. So the shani b'mai, what avoda did you do lemaila that should have been done lemata ilim v'dishani b'malika? If we said what we mean to say is that you did the malika which is supposed to be done lemata, instead you did it lemaila. Ha'amar mar malika b'kol makom v'mizbeach k'sheira. There's no such din by echatas that malika has to be done on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So what has to be done on the bottom half of the mizbeach that when the Mishnah says, oh, if you do it on the top half of the mizbeach, then it's going to be possible. Elav the shani baza. It must be talking about the sprinkling of the blood. Okay, so if that line of the Mishnah, when we deseva baza, reshanami baza, if that line of the Mishnah, when it talks about doing it lemaila, doing what lemaila means doing the sprinkling of the blood lemaila, so then the previous line of the Mishnah, which talks about doing a chatas like an ola, doing what like an ola? It must mean, it must be a reference to the sprinkling of the blood. So says Gemara, midiria, nah, not necessarily. Hakadisa vakadisa. You could make just as compelling a case that the Enochinami, the next line in the Mishnah is about the sprinkling of the blood, and the previous line of the Mishnah is about the Malika, and our Mishnah is going to Lokar, those of Rabbi Shimon. So it's not abundantly clear. Either way can work. When you say that you do a chatos like an ola, it could mean that you're Madvil Shnei Simanim, or it could mean that you do only mitzvah without any hazaa. Well, but then the Mishnah spoke about ola sa'of. What if you do an ola sa'of kema'ase chatos? So what does that mean exactly, that you do a kema'ase chatos? So the Shani Bimai. What did you do about with the ola that was like a chatas? Maybe it means you didn't cut shnei simanim. When you did the malika, you only cut one simin. Well, midiktani seifa kulan ein metamin beves habliya. From the fact that the seifa over here, seifa means the next mishnah, that all of the chatos and olos that are mentioned in our mishnah, no matter how differently you've done them, they're not metamin beves habliya, meaning they don't become a nevela. Normally, if you did a nevela softar, it's metamin beves habliya. So all of these psula will not make the animal an avela, umol and ben, and they're all going to be subject to me'ila because they never had a shas heter l'kohanim, and that's the rule. If they never had a shas heter l'kohanim, then they're all going to be subject to me'ila. Well, name of delok Rabbi Yeshua. Well, then it turns out that this mishnah is against Rabbi Yeshua. Well, who's Rabbi Yeshua? Well, we're going to see him in the next mishnah. Di'ik Rabbi Yeshua hamar ein molin. Because according to Rabbi Yeshua, how could you say that in all of these cases of our mishnah, there's still subject to me'ila? One of these cases is that you did an ola lemata kema'ase chatas l'shem chatas, that you took a bird that was meant to be an ola and you treated it in every which respect like a chatas. You did kema'ase chatas l'shem chatas and lemata. But what does it mean, kemasa chatas? If kemasa chatas means you were only molik simen echad, well, Rabbi Yeshua tells us that if you do kemasa chatas lemata, it's not subject to mi'ila. We're going to see that in the next Mishnah. So you don't want to say that our Mishnah is going against Rabbi Yeshua. Now, it's particularly bad to say that our Mishnah is going against Rabbi Yeshua when you consider who's the Bar Plutta of Rabbi Yeshua? Because in the next mission, we're going to have the Bar Plutta of Rabbi Yeshua is going to be Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is Mitalmid Beishamei, Rabbi Eliezer Shamutehu. So we never passing like Rabbi Eliezer. So it's not Mistaver that we're going to have a mission that's going Dafka against Rabbi Yeshua, which would mean that the mission is going like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Ella B'mitzvah. So what you have to say, when our mission says that you do the Ola Kema'as Echatas, what it means is, with as far as mitzvah, that you do a Hazas Adam like a Chatas, but you don't do a mitzvah like an Ola. And that's what it means. That's where, and even Rabbi Shua, in that case, Rabbi Shua did not say Ein Ma'olin Ba. Even Rabbi Shua would say it's still subject to Me'ila. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, Ein Ma'seifa, you know, you want to say that Ola L'Shem Chatas, you did a not L'Shem Chatas, when you do an Ola, a Ma'isa Chatas on an Ola, it means what you did is that you did the Mitzvah wrong, that you did a Hazah instead of a Mitzvah. Well, Ein Ma'seifa, go to read the end of the Mishnah, where meaning the next Mishnah, where it says Ola sa'ov sha'asal lemata kima'ase chatos l'shem chatos. If you do an Ola sa'ov bottom half of the mizbeach, you treat it like a chatos l'shem chatos. Rabbi Elazar Omer Molin, Rabbi Shua Omer Ein Molin. But Rabbi Elazar says it's subject to me. Rabbi Shua says not. Well, d'shani b'mai. What does it mean you did a ma'isa chatos on it? Ilim b'mitzui. If it's talking about that you did hazah and not a mitzui, and in that way it was like a chatos. Amr da'am Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua says you're not molin deshani b'malika. Only if you did the malika incorrectly. B'mitzoy mi amar. Does Rabbi Shua ever say that there's no meila when the shinui that you did was with the mitzoy? Ve'ela b'malika. So what you have to say is that the next mission when it says asa k'maisa chatas means that you did a malika like a chatas. So asa k'maisa chatas in our mishnah we said means you did the mitzoy like a chatas. So which is it? Reisha v'seifa b'malika mitziyasa b'mitzui. It would then turn out when it all gets settled after we've brought all the cases in the next mishnah and in the case in our mishnah. Our Mishnah and the Seifa, the end of the next Mishnah, talks about where you do a Maisa Chatas, means you do a Maisa Chatas as far as Malika is concerned, and yet the Halacha in between them talks about doing a Maisa Chatas, and that's not as far as the Malika is concerned, that's as far as the Mitzvah is concerned. Says, well, yeah, sometimes you have to say such a thing. In Reisha V'Seifa Malika, Mitzvah B'Mitzvah. It's unusual, but sometimes you have to say such a thing that we switch off, even though we're using the same terminology, we use the same words, Maisa Chatas. It means one thing at point one and point three, and something else at point two. It's not Gishmak, we don't like to have to come on to that, but when there's no other choice, that's what we have to say. So essentially, at the end of the day, we say that a chatas, in order to have a kosher chatas, you need four things. You need it, according to the Chacham at least, you need to only cut one simen. Number two, you need to sprinkle and do a mitzvah of the dam. Number three, the azah and the mitzvah has to be lamata, the bottom half of the mizbech. And number four, you have to do it l'shem chatas. And if you do any of those things wrong, it passels the carbon chatas. An Ola Sa'ov has three requirements. You need to do malika of both simanim. You need to squeeze, but not sprinkle the dam, just squeeze the dam. And the malika and the mitzvah has to be done on the top half of the mizbech. You do any of those things wrong, and it's going to be possible. If you do a malika of simen echad and you sprinkle the dam lamata, so now we're going to see this is going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer. Exactly what's going to be subject to meila. And what's not going to be subject to Mila? What's Olal Vayim Shem Chava? And what exactly is going to be possible? So now, says the Mishnah. Mishnah discusses Chatos of Olas of, but done a little bit wrong. Vikulan, all the Chatos and the Olas that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, whether they were kosher or they were possible, Ein Metamin Vesabliya. They're not going to have Tumas Vesabliya. Meaning, normally you eat a Nevelas of Tahar, the halacha is that it's Metame, you and the Begadim that you're wearing. But in all of these cases, the animal does not become a nevela, and then also the ma'olim behen. And also in all those cases, the animal is still subject to me'ila, chutz mi'chatas ha'ov sha'asal, lemata k'masa chatas l'shem chatas. Except for chatas ha'ov that you did exactly like a chatas. That is not going to be subject to mi'ila. That's going to be kosher. Why? Because it already became mutar lekohanim. Meaning, once something becomes mutar lekohanim, it becomes mutar to eat, so it's not going to be subject to mi'ila anymore. But an ola never, even if you do it right, it never becomes mutar lekohanim. The whole thing is supposed to be burnt on the mizbech, so it's still going to be subject to mi'ila. And all the others never become mutar because they're not kosher. So when you do it all right, and it's going to be a kosher carbon chatos, that's when it's not going to be subject to Mi'ila anymore. Now, just a word or two about Tumas Beis Habliya that we mentioned. So there is a discussion in the Achronim what exactly the Makom Beis Habliya is, meaning where is the Beis Habliya. Minchas Chinuch writes that since the Maseches Ksubos and Daf Lamed and Beis, it says that that when something is in the Beis Habliya, you could still regurgitate it. So and it seems that there's a part of the Beis Habliya where you can't be machzorit. The Gemara discusses both possibilities, that someone has something in the Beis Habliya, and it says, are we talking about when he's able to take it out, when he's not able? So the question is, our Beis Habliya, as far as Tum is concerned, which part of the Beis Habliya are we talking about? Are we talking about the part of the Beis Habliya where you can still spit it out, or the part of the Beis Habliya where you can't spit it out? There's a further machlokas Abaye and Rava. Wherever the Beis Habliya is, does it have the status of a Beis Astarim, or does it have the status of Balua? This may have nafkaminas lahalacha, because even though most of the dinim of Tumah and Taharah we're not knowing anymore, whether an area of the body has a din of Beis Astarim, or whether an area of the body has a din of Balua, is very nogeah for chatzitza, for a woman going to the mikvah, because a woman is not allowed to have a chatzitza in what's called the Beis Astarim. Halacha is there are three regions of the body. There's a part of the body that is exposed to the atmosphere, that's the outside, your outer level of skin. There's the part of the body that's Beis Astarim, that's sometimes exposed, sometimes not. Your eyelids, when you close your eyes, are exposed. When you open your eyes, are not. Your eyes themselves, the inside of the mouth, right? That's Beis Astarim. When a woman goes to the mikvah, she's not allowed to have a chatzitza in the Beis Astarim, but she doesn't need a bias mayim in the Beis Astarim. The water doesn't have to hit the Beis Astarim, so she doesn't have to go with her eyes open or with her mouth open or anything like that. That's a Beis Astarim. And then there's Balua. Balua is where it's completely covered and never has exposure to the outside. It's never seen by the outside, like the internal organs. But the question is on the borderline. Where do you draw the line between Balua and Beis Astarim? How far down the throat is it? She has a bone stuck in her throat from dinner. Is that going to be a chatzitza? Well, you should probably get that taken care of. But is that going to be a chatzitza when it comes to the mikvah? Where exactly in the Beis Habliya? Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Whether the Tumas Beis Habliya is, whether the Beis Habliya is a din of Beis Astarim or it has a din of Balua. And it may depend on which part of the Beis Habliya we're talking about. Just had a Shaila last week. I didn't have a Shaila, and I was talking to another Rav. I was sitting with Ed Chasna. He told me that he had a Shaila that a woman had what they call, she had a wisdom tooth extraction. It was called a dry extraction, which means that the area is extremely infected, extraordinarily painful. Extraordinarily painful thing. So one of the things that they do is after they do the extraction, it's hard to even think about it, but after they do the extraction, they take a piece of gauze, they medicate it, and they stick the gauze in the area where the tooth was extracted from and leave it there for a few days to medicate the area. So then she had to go to the mikvah within those few days. So is that a chatzitza? Is that piece of gauze a chatzitza? So we try to piece together as many heterim as we can. So maybe that's balua. So I thought it's vadai balua, because that's not just in the back of the mouth where, okay, you could argue that that's still beis astarim, especially if the beis habliya is a beis astarim. So you'd imagine the back of the mouth is but it's beneath the surface of the gums. Beneath the surface of the gums, it's definitely blue. But he said, no, but it's exposed right now. Meaning right now, if she opens up her mouth, you can see it. Okay, so it's not so pashut that it's balua. Also, you have Ramosha has a thing about cotton in the ears. A woman couldn't get her ears wet. That thought that a chatzitza, that by definition, a chatzitza is something that sticks, not something that just blocks. Anything that just blocks an area is not a chatzitza, which is a very big chiddush. But maybe you mean sorry for that. Lemaisa, she ended up going during the day, on the eighth day, and it just went to the dentist before. He took it out. She went to the mikvah. She went right back to the dentist, and he put it back in. And that avoided all shailas. But anyway, so that's part of the discussion over here, whether Beis Habliya has a din of Beis Astarim or Beis Habliya has a din of Balua. There's also and which part of the basically we're talking about is a major discussion in the Achronim. Reb Chaim in Avos HaTumah Parakim Lalacha Aleph says that Beis HaBliya is the place, is as far as Tumah is concerned, is the place where you could still be machzir the ochel, you could still regurgitate it. The din achila only happens once it goes beyond that place. But as far as Tumah's Beis HaBliya, it already is mitame a person in that place. And he brings from Rava's comment in Maseches Nida that the Makom Beis HaBliya is called the Beis HaStarim. He says if it's all the way down the throat to the point where you can't even cough it back out again, then how can you call that a Beis HaStarim? That has to be Balua. The very fact that Rava could say that that's still a Beis HaStarim is the ultimate Raya. The Chazon Ish and Gilyonos and Novel Satuma says the opposite, that it's not Metame at all in a place where you could still spit it out. The Achila that's Metame is only when you've irreversibly eaten it. Only then is it metame Beis HaBliya. Only then is that considered an irreversible eating. And the other issue with Beis HaBliya I mentioned before, I guess we'll close with this, is just what exactly is the geder of Tumas Beis HaBliya? There are some that suggest that it's a form of Tumas Maga with a chiddush that it's only metame when it touches that part of your body, the Beis HaBliya, and another chiddush that it's metame your begadim as well. But otherwise it's a form of Tumas Maga. Others say it's a form of Tumas Masa. Others say it's a form of Tumas Achila. It's a new Tumah called Tumas Achila. Others say it's a Tumah of the of this Makom, that special Chiddush, that when a Nevelah is in the Beis HaBliya, it's Metame a person. And the fifth possibility is that the Nevelah of Tahar, it doesn't have any Tumah, Shalom B'Beis HaBliya, or it's only Metame when you eat it, but the item itself has no Tumah outside of the Beis HaBliya. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll start again. We'll start the Mishnah again, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow.